Pasha starts off that Vayhi Yiyu Chaye Sora Meir Shona Ve'esrim Shona Ve'sheva Shonim. That the lifetime of Sora was 100 years and 20 years and 7 years. It's 127 years. And then the Pasuk says again, Shnei Chaye Sora. These were the culminative amount of years of the lifetime of Sora. Which means that the Torah is repeating itself. The Torah has already said at the beginning of Ayyuhu Chaye Sora that these were the total years of the life of Sora. So why does the Pasuk say again at the end, Shnei Chaye Sora? So Rashi already quotes Chazal that asked this question and give an answer. And the answer which Chazal give, which Rashi quotes, presents a number of difficulties which the Mefarshim of Rashi talk about at length. The second pasuk of the parasha says, Vatomos Sora, that Sora died, Bikirius Arba, in a place called Kirius Arba, he Chevron, which is actually what we call Chevron, Be'eretz Canaan, which is in Eretz Yisrael, Vayovay Avrohom, and Avrohom came, Lispoid Lesora Vulivkoiso, to eulogize Sora, and to weep about the death of Sora. To which Rashi again quotes a Chazal, a Medrash Tanchuma, which says the following, V'nismecho Misa Sora Liakedis Yitzchok, the Torah juxtaposes, it puts together the death of Sora immediately following the description of Akedas Yitzchok, which came in the previous parasha, the Fisha Al Yedei Besuris HaAkedo, Sheniz Damin Benolish Chito Vekimat Shalei Nishchot, because when Sora was told the story of the Akedah, and the fact that Yitzchok was nearly killed, Pocho Nishmoso Mimeno Umeso. She died from the trauma of knowing that her son was nearly killed. This Maimon Chazal also presents a number of problems. It doesn't make sense to say that the Nisoyon of the Akedah was the cause of the death of Sora. It contradicts a Pasuk in Mishle, which Chazal see as being a hard and fast rule and a hard and fast principle, Shema Mitzvah Lo Yedea Dvar Dovora. It's impossible for a person to observe a mitzvah and the result of the mitzvah should be something which is negative for him or for anybody else. Therefore, it's impossible that Avraham Avinu should have been Mekayim, should have fulfilled the tzivya of the Ribbono Shel Olam of the Maisa Akedah, and the result should be the death of Sora. It also doesn't make sense that Avram and Yitzchok were able to withstand the Nisayon of the Akedah, and nothing happened to them as a result of the Nisayon of the Akedah, and yet, according to Chazal, it appears that Sora drops dead because of the Nisayon of the Akedah. It doesn't fit with the other descriptions which are given by Chazal of the relative greatness of Sora in reference to Avram and to Yitzchok, where Chazal seemed to say that Sora was even greater than Avram. Definitely benevuah, she was greater than Avram. And therefore she knew that the Akedah was a tzivah of the Borei Olam. So how come that Avram and Yitzchok were able to withstand the Nisayon of the Akedah and she drops dead from the Nisayon of the Akedo. And in addition, the Zohar writes in the Hakdama to the Zohar that Nigzara Misa Sora, that the death of Sora was determined, was fixed by the Ribbono Shel Olam already at the time of the Mishteh that Avraham Avinu made when the Pasuk says he gomel Yitzchok. B'yayim gomel is Yitzchok. And it also contradicts the actual Pasuk. Because if you look in this Pasuk, which says that Vayove Avraham Lispoid Lesorah V'Livkoiso, the word Livkoiso, which is spelled Vav Lamed Beis Chaf Sof Hei, is written with a Kaf Zeiro. It's written in the Sefer Torah with a very small Kaf, smaller than all the other letters. And that's the Halacha. The halacha is that the Livkoiso has to be written with a kaf which is smaller than all the other letters. To which the Balaturim asks, why is the word Livkoiso written with a small kaf? To which the Balaturim answers, because Avraham Avinu didn't cry too much when Sarah died. Why? Because she lived to a ripe old age. And old people tend to die. That's the nature. Nobody lives forever. Therefore, obviously, even though he'd been married for many years to his wife and he was upset that his wife died, but he don't cry at the funeral of a 90-year-old or a 100-year-old or a 120-year-old or a 180-year-old the same way as you cry at the funeral of somebody who's taken away at a very young age. So on the one hand, and this Balaturim is based on Chazal, he didn't make this up. So on the one hand, we're told that Sarah suddenly dropped dead out of the blue because of, or as a result of, or as a reaction to the Akedah. And on the other hand, we're told by Chazal that Sarah lived to a ripe old age and there wasn't really too much to cry about when she died because it was normal to die at that age. So all this seemingly is somewhat confusing. The whole concept of the Akedas Yitzchok, and indeed the whole concept of a Nisoyan in general, needs some element of clarification. Because at the end of the day, the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't need to put a person through a Nisoyan in order to determine whether the person is committed to him or not committed to him. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't need to give a person Nisoyan in order that the Ribbono Shel Olam should be able to know whether the person has Mesiras Nefesh or the person doesn't have Mesiras Nefesh. There was no necessity for the Ribbono Shel Olam to put Avram through a Nisoyan of the Akedah in order that the Ribbono Shel Olam should be able to know whether Avraham Avinu is going to listen to him and has the Mesiras Nefesh of shechting a son, an only son which was born after so many years. Because the emunah of Avraham Avinu, the ava of Avraham Avinu to the Ribbono Shel Olam, was something which the Ribbono Shel Olam knew without him having to put Avraham through the Nisoyan. There are no secrets from the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't need a Nisoyan to determine what the truth is about the individual. Whether the individual is one of us or whether the individual is Avraham Avinu. So if so, what is the function of a Nisoyan? The function of a Nisoyan is not in order that the Ribbono Shel Olam should know where the person is at or where the person is holding, but that the person himself should know where he's at and where he's holding. The whole function and the whole purpose of a Nisoyan is to reveal what hidden koiches does the individual have? And the revelation of the hidden koiches is not for the Ribbono Shel Olam. He knows what hidden koiches a person has. The revelation of the hidden koiches, which comes about through an Nisayon, is to inform the person what koiches he has. Avraham Avinu went through the Akedah in order that Avraham Avinu himself should realize what koiches he has, which he didn't even realize until he was faced with the Nisayon. The Ribbono Shel Olam wanted that Avraham Avinu should know who he is. What are the inner strengths that he had? And there's a reason for this. There's a logic behind this. Because if there is to be a continuity, if the individual wants to transfer any type of message at all to the next generation, if he wants to give over to the next generation, what are the values? What are the ideas? What are the inyonim in general which are important to him? He first has to have a self-awareness of what is important to him and what's not important to him, because he can't impart to the next generation that which is important to him if he doesn't know himself what's important to him. It was only after the Akedah, when Avraham became aware himself of how much it was important to him to be Meisa Nefesh for the Ribbono Shel Olam, to be an Oyev Hashem, and to be a Yorei Elikim, that the Pasuk says, L'man ashe yitzave es beisai v'ye es bonav es beisai. It's only the tzivui that Avraham Avinu received that he has to impart a message to the next generation was only feasible once Avraham Avinu himself knew what was important to him and what played a role by him. The minute he knew what was important to him and what played a role by him, he could transfer that to the next generation. It's only at the time of the Akedah that, and in fact, at the time of the Akedah and after the Akedah, that the Torah tells us in reference to Avraham and Yitzchok, Vayelchu Yachtov, that they went together. In other words, that element of Avraham and Yitzchok going together, that element of Yitzchok following in the footsteps of Avraham, was only possible at the Maisa Akedah and after the Maisa Akedah, when Avraham Avinu himself achieved the awareness to himself of what's really important to him and what's not important to him. Prior to the Akedah, there was something missing in that relationship between Avraham and Yitzchok. On Har HaMoriah, at the time of the Akedah, that's when it was revealed to Avraham himself his tremendous ava to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And from that point and onwards, Avraham Avinu could hand it over and give it over to Yitzchok. And in fact, this concept that a Nisayon is not for the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's for the self-awareness of the person who's involved in the Nisayon, is in fact Mefurish the Ramban, and is in fact Mefurish in the Zohar. The problem of a Nisayon is that the Yetzer Hara tends to be misgabel on a person prior to the doing of a mitzvah and prior to a situation of a Nisayon. Because the function of the Satan, the function of the Yetzer Hara, is to prevent the individual from achieving a self-awareness of where he's really at. The Satan doesn't want that a person should know what's really important to him and what's not important to him, because the Satan doesn't want continuity. The Satan doesn't want that there should be a next generation. And in fact, if you look in Chazal, in reference to Akedas Yitzchak, you find that Chazal give a very lengthy and a very vivid description of all the different tachbulos that the Yetzer Hara and the Satan found in order to try and prevent Avraham from actually succeeding in the Nisayon of the Akedah. For example, Chazal say that the Satan came to Avraham Avinu and said to Avraham Avinu that you're a zaken shaita. You're an elderly idiot. You're an elderly retard. Why? Because the Ribbono Shel'Olam was maftir to you that b'Yitzchok yikare lechozera. The Ribbono Shel'Olam told you mefurish that your continuity will be Yitzchok and his children. So therefore, it's impossible that the Ribbono Shel'Olam could have told you at this point in time that you've got to go and kill him. So you obviously didn't hear properly. So obviously you misunderstood what the Ribbono Shel'Olam was telling you. This whole idea that you have to go to Har Meriah and you have to kill Yitzchok, it's all part and parcel of your imagination, says the Satan. It's dimyon. Then, says Chazal, the Satan went to Yitzchok and tried all different angles in order to persuade Yitzchok that it's impossible that the Ribbono Shel'Olam should have given a command to Yitzchok, they should allow himself to be sacrificed as a korban. There can't be such a thing, and this is all entire dimyon. I heard from one of the Talmidim Muvhokim of Rav Dessler that Rav Dessler used to spend a lot of time talking about what he understood to mean, or to be, the most severe of averis. Actually, in the 4 or 5 volumes that exist of Michtam Eliyahu, I only found one reference to this in passing. I found one reference to this concept, to this idea, in passing. But I heard from Rav Mordechai Miller, who was the Talmud Muvak of Rav Dessler, that this was something that Rav Dessler spoke about a lot in his Vadim to his Talmidim. And that's the concept of something which Chazal call Toiher al Harishonis, regretting having done something positive. If a person regrets having done a mitzvah, or if a person regrets having done something which is positive in the eyes of the Ribbono Shel Olam, that, says Rav Dessler, is the worst avera that a person can do, and therefore it's better not to do a mitzvah lechatchila than to do a mitzvah and regret afterwards that you did it. And Rav Dessler uses this principle, and that's the only occasion that I found it in Michtav Meliyahu. Rav Dessler uses this principle, halacha lemaisa. He uses it within the framework of the time-old question, how much hishtadlus does a person have to do in reference to bitochen in the Ribbono Shel Olam? Everybody needs money in order to survive. And the time-old question is, how much do you have to be a beiter b'Hashem, and how much ishtadlus do you have to do? So Rav Dessler gives very clear guidelines as to what should be the proportion between the ishtadlus a person does and the amount of bitochen that he should have. And he basically sets out 5 guidelines. for this. And one of the guidelines he expresses in the following manner. He says, if a person makes a decision to himself that he will work X amount of hours a week, and that will suffice him, and the rest of the time he'll be Oisek in Avedis Hashem, and he'll be a Baal Bitochen that at the end of the week, the combination of the amount of hours that he worked plus the bitochen will give him enough money to be able to survive the week. If the end of the week comes and he hasn't got enough money for that week, if he's going to turn around to himself, says Rav Dessler, and he's going to say, I was stupid, I should have worked more hours and been beitech in the Ribbono Shel Olam less, and then I would have finished the week okay financially. In other words, he's going to be toyeh al harishonos at the proportion of his bitochen to his ishtadlus, because he feels that his ishtadlus was too little and his bitochen was too much. Then it would have been better if he would have been mishtadl more from the very beginning and had less bitochen than trying to be a tzaddik and having less hishtadlus and more bitochen at the end of the day turning out to be a tayal arishainus. Because the worst thing you can do, says Rav Dessler, is to do something which the Ribbono Shel Olam looks at as being positive and to regret afterwards having done it. To which I heard from Talmidim of Rav Dessler, even though it's not printed in the Sefer, that he explained this in a very simple manner. He said, regret is all powerful. The horaya, tshuva. The basis of tshuva is regret. Regret for having done something in the past. And Chazal talk in wondrous terms about the power of tshuva. Goy gdoyle tshuva shemagas ad kisei akovet. B'mokim shebalei tshuva imdim ein sadikim gemurim imdim. So from that you see what the power of regret is. Says Rav Dessler, Zelu umas ze osa kodesh baruch hu. The world was created by the Ribbono Shel Olam. The powers exist and they work in both directions. In the same way as regret is all powerful, when the regret is latoif for tshuva, so too regret is all powerful when it goes in the opposite direction. And you regret having done a mitzvah, or you regret having done a ma'aseh tov. The great and wondrous things that tshuva does, that it's magia ad kisei akovet and b'mokim shebalei tshuva oimdim, ein tzadikim gemurim oimdim. If you regret a mitzvah, that power works in the opposite direction. You are distanced to the maximum from the kisei hakovet. You are in a worse situation than balei avera. Because it's the same power, it's just working in the opposite direction. The Yetzer Hara attacks a person at two points in time. It attacks a person pre the Maisa Tov that he does, pre the Nisoyen, to try and stop him from doing the Nisoyen and from succeeding in the Nisoyen. And then the Yetzer Hara attacks the person after he succeeded, to try and get him to regret having stood or withstood the Nisoyen. Because if the Yetzer Hara can get him to regret having succeeded in the Nisoyen, then he's going to be a Tayal Rishonus, and that's the worst avera possible, and once again the Yetzer Hara has won. And in fact, we say this in davening every day, but we just, as usual, don't realize what we're saying. We just said it. V'hoser satan. We asked the Ribbono Shel Olam that he should remove the Yetzer Hara, he should remove the satan. Milafoneinu ume acharenu. What does that mean? Milafoneinu, from before us, ume acharenu, from behind us. What does that mean? The Satan isn't a physical entity which is standing either before us, in front of us, or behind us. V'aseh Satan, what we ask the Ribbono Shel Olam is remove the Yetzirah that exists prior to the Maisa, prior to the Nisoyen. Help us overcome the Yetzirah which is always trying to stop us succeeding in a Nisoyen. And help us trying to stop the Yetzirah which is trying to make us regret having succeeded in the Nisoyen. The Yetzirah, as we said, came to Avraham Avinu, came to Yitzchak, tried every single angle possible to stop Avraham succeeding in the Maisa Nisoyen of the Akedah. That was the Vahasa Sotan Milfonenu. And Avraham Avinu was successful in that. Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak didn't listen to the Yatzase Yetzer. And they went to the Akedah. And Avraham was willing to kill Yitzchak. And Yitzchak was willing to be killed, notwithstanding the Yetzer Hara. But then came stage two. Then came the stage after the Nisoyen that the Yetzirah tried to get Avraham and Yitzchak to regret the fact that they were Omed b'Nisoyen. The time for Sarah to die had already come. That had been determined in the Mishteh that Avraham made. This was the time when Sarah had to die. This was what was determined, as the Zohar says. She was an old lady already, as Chazal say. But it came when? It came after the Nisoyen of the Akedah, to which the Satan turned round to Avraham and said to Avraham, look what your Akedah did. Your Akedah killed your wife. That's not the reality. That's the argument that the Satan was giving to Avraham Avinu. You want to know why your wife died? Pocho nishmosa bimsuras Akedah. She died from the Akedah. And what the Satan wanted was that Avraham Avinu should turn around and say, and Yitzchak should turn around and say, it wasn't Kedai. The whole Nisoyen wasn't Kedai because it killed the wife, it killed the mother. It wasn't reality. It was the Atzas HaYetzer. And that's what the Torah says. The Torah says, Vayiyu chaye soro mea shona v'yesrim shona v'sheva shonim. The lifespan of sorrow was determined by the Ribbono Shel Olam at the Mishteh Lehigomel Yitzchak to be a lifespan of 127 years. And then the Pasuk says it again. Get this straight. Get this clear. This is reality. Reality is Shnei Chayei Sora, this was the predetermined lifespan of Sora. And not 1 minute and not 1 second more than that. Because Chazal say that the second that Sora died, Rivka came on the scene. It was all predetermined to the second. The Satan wanted that it should appear to Avraham and it should appear to Yitzchak that the reason for the death of Sarah was the Akedah. Therefore, when Avraham comes to be maspid Sarah, the Torah says, "Veliv koisa," he cried, but with a kaf zeira, with a small chof. He cried. The way you cry for an old lady of 127 years old that dies. This was a statement on the part of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu by his lifkoiso for Sarah, as an old woman, was making a statement. You won't get me to be toher al horishoynes. You won't get me to regret the akedah. Because Avraham was aimed against the Yetzer Hara when the Satan came me'achareinu, after the Maisa HaNisoyen. Every single person is faced with this. Every single person is faced with the fact that there is a Yetzer Hara which tries to prevent him before he goes to do something, and there's a Yetzer Hara which tries to get him after he does something to retract. The function, the purpose of a Nisoyen is in order that a person should have a self-awareness of what his koichos are. Why are we so limited? Why are we so small in the she'ifas that we have? Why do we always position our entire she'ifas in life at a minimum level? Because we don't have any self-confidence whatsoever in our abilities and what we're able to do. You turn around to an average bocher and you say to him, you have the ability to be the next Gadol HaDor, and the immediate thought that goes through his mind is, I have an average brain, right? I'm not brilliant, I'm not stupid, but I'm not brilliant, right? I'm very average in terms of my brain power. So how do you expect me to be the next Gadol HaDor? And basically that's the reason why we fix the target of our achievements at the lowest possible common denominator, at the lowest possible common factor. Because we make a very basic mistake. We don't understand that there's a very, very basic difference between life in general and Avodas Hashem. It's true, life in general, there are a lot of areas where a person will not succeed unless he is very brainy. For certain things, you have to have a certain amount of brain power. You have to have a certain amount of keichas and nefesh, which some people are born with and some people aren't born with. That's true when it comes to milibe da'alma. That's not true when it comes to Torah, and that's not true when it comes to Avodas Hashem. There's no connection when it comes to Torah, when it comes to Avodas Hashem, between brain power and keichas and nefesh and what a person can achieve. Because when it comes to inyonim of ruchnias, when it comes to inyonim which are not milah d'alma, but inyonim which are spiritual, it's dependent on something else completely. It's dependent on Torah, it's dependent on Kedusha. Every single Jew is a chelek lekayim mimal mamish. Every single Jew has an neshama. Every single Jew has divinity within him. And therefore, every single Jew has within him tremendous koichos ruchniyim. Even if in brain power he happens to be particularly weak, one has nothing at all to do with the other. That doesn't take away from the koichos ruchniyim that a person has. My Rebbe, Leib Lapin, Brown's father, used to say always, Margul Bepumah, used to repeat this the whole time. He used to see the Mishnah says, but the Torah nikness b'memches dvorim. There are 48 vehicles to acquire Torah. He says, look through the list of the 48 vehicles to acquire Torah. It doesn't say a good brain. It doesn't say anybody says, well, state ishken guter kop. It doesn't say that a person has to have a brain. There are G'dayli Yisrael. Then when we talk about them, we talk about them B'cherdes Kodesh. There were people who were Rabban Shekob B'nei Agoyla, and they were known that they were not particularly bright, that their brain power wasn't in any way definable as genius. Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan Spector was the Godel Hador, the Pesach of his generation. The Kovner Rav writes in that Gdoma to one of his Sforim, if a person will come to the Eilam HaEmes and they'll be asked in Beis Din Shel Milo, why didn't you end up being Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan the Kovner Rav? And he'll turn around and he'll say, because I didn't have a brain. He says, I will personally come to be Mekatrig against him, because there's nobody in the world who has a weaker brain than me. That's what he writes. And if I made it, anybody can make it. I always say over, I saw this with my own eyes. I saw this in 1970 with my own eyes. The Ponovezhirov came to Gateshead on a 4-day visit. And he spent a Shabbos in Gateshead. And the Rosh Yeshivas didn't feel that it was befitting for the Godel Hador, the Ponovezhirov, that he should walk around on his own. But Gateshead was a very small community, and the Jewish community lived in a very limited area. 3-4 streets, and that was it. So it wasn't possible to take him with a car, because if he had to go anywhere, by the time he got into the car, he had to get out of the car. So they needed somebody to go with him. So Rabbi Gurevitz, the Rosh Yeshivas, called me over on a Tuesday, and he said, tomorrow, Wednesday, the Ponovezhirov is going to come to Gateshead, and I want you to be tzomer to him for the next 4 days. You don't leave him day or night. You be mishamish him for 4 days. And don't worry about Bittul Torah, because Shimusha Yaisa Milimudo. You'll gain more out of being with the Ponovezhirov for these 4 days than you will out of learning. It wasn't because there was anything special about me. It was simply on the basis of a number of things. First of all, it had to be somebody who spoke Yiddish perfectly. And I was one of the few Bochum that Yiddish was my mother tongue. And English was my second language. And second of all, because he happened to be a very close friend of my father, so he knew me. So I was Hamish with him, so he thought it would be a good idea if I did it. So I spent 4 days with the Ponovezhirov. It's irrelevant. A lot of interesting things happened in those days. But that's irrelevant at this point in time. But I got payment for this. Because on Motzi Shabbos, the Ponovezhirov et Malav Malka by Reb Leib Goritz, and I was invited to eat with him as a gesture, the fact that I was with him those 4 days. So it started off with Reb Leib Goritz and his Rebbetzin, the Ponovezhirov, and me. Of course, the news got around the yeshiva that the Ponovezhirov was there, and eventually there were about 200 bochrim who were sort of like hanging on the windows from the outside, and eventually they let them in, and eventually everybody came in. In the course of the conversation, they started talking about Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman was the Rebbe of Rabbi Leib Goritz. Rabbi Goritz learned with him Chavrusa for a year and a half as a Talmud Rebbe. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, right? The Kevet Shurim. Mipivonu Chaim. There's not a yeshiva bach who can learn a black Gemara without looking in a Kevet Shurim or a Kevet Zoharis. He was the ultimate Rosh Yeshiva of pre-war years. The Ponovezhirov learnt with him Chavrusa for a number of years in the Kodshim Kollel of the Chofetz Chaim in Radin. And they were talking about Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. And all of a sudden the Ponovezhirov got very serious and very emotional. And he said to Rabbi Leib Goritz, I learned Chavrusa with the Baranovich Rosh Yeshiva for a number of years. I was known as a child prodigy. Yosha Kula was an Ilui that the whole Lithuania knew about it. Ponovezhirov. He said, my Chavrusa Rebbe Chanan had got a kop v'avant. He had a head like a brick wall, and then he turned round in his seat and he banged his fist against the wall of the room. And he repeated 3 or 4 times, a kop v'avant, a kop v'avant, a kop v'avant. And then he started crying and he said, oh, but the hasmoda with the yegiya was something which you don't see. Then he told over the famous story that he was learning with the Panagiro, with Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, and they were in the middle of a Tosfos, and the postman walked in with a telegram for somebody called Wasserman, and they gave it to Rabbi Chanan, and he opened it up. It was a telegram from his family that his wife had given birth, because she was living somewhere else. He was in the Kola, which was in a different town. And the Panjirov said, he got out of his seat and he made a bracha at Teva Meitiv, and then he sat down again. He said, Vaiten Taisus. He said, that's why he became an Rabban Gadol. That's why he became the Rosh Hashiva. Not because of his head, because of his yigia, because of his asmoda. And in fact, that's something which we have to knock into our heads. We have to knock into our heads that there is no such thing that I haven't got the capacity to become the next Gadol HaDor. There is no such thing. It doesn't exist. Because every individual has within him koichas. Because he has a chelek alekayim in ma'al mamish. Because he has an neshama, so those koichas are there. But he has to gain the self-awareness of those koichas. The Ramban writes, in reference to the building of the Mishkan, that the people who were involved in the building of the Mishkan were kol asher nosu liboy. Anybody whose heart was raised to get involved in the building of the Mishkan. Says the Rambam, what's this weird expression, kol asher nosu liboy? They had to build a Mishkan. So the people who got involved were people who knew how to build. They were builders, they were architects, they were construction people. What's this asher nosu liboy? Says the Rambam, v'tam asher nosu liboy. You know why the pasuk is asher nosu liboy? Ki loy hoyo bohem shelomades amalochis ha'eloh mimelamed. Oy mishe imim bohem yodav klau. There wasn't one person there who was experienced in building, says the Ramban, who had been taught how to construct something. These were people who suddenly realized that they had this koyach inside them. How do they know that they had this koyach inside them? Because vayigva liboy bedarkei Hashem, says the Ramban. Because they had this pride, love lifnei Moshe loymer. Then they came to Moshe Rabbeinu and then they said, fine, you've got to build a Mishkan, we'll build a Mishkan. Because they had what's called in the Chassidish Sforim, Rav Nachman Breslov talks about this a lot. Azus to Kedusha, holy chutzpah. We all of us have chutzpah, but our chutzpah is always B'dvar Aveira. Give me a D'var Aveira and we'll have experience in it, or I'm not experienced in it, Emilia, I can do it. But there's a concept of Azus to Kedusha as well. That in Kedusha to Kanyana, a person has to have a chutzpah. He has to be able to say to himself, I can do it. And if he says to himself, I can do it, it will be revealed, says the Ramban, that he has internally these teichas and nefesh. One of the major yesodos in Avodas Hashem, Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishlei, is to be an action, to be obstinate. Sheva pe'omim yipol tzadik v'kom. You fall down 7 times, but keep getting up. And the 8th time you won't fall down. Because failure is part and parcel of human life. There doesn't exist a situation in life where there is constant success. There is no such thing. Ein odom oimed al divrei teira, says the Chazal in Gittin on Daf Mem Gimel, elo im kein nichshu bahem. Nobody ever succeeds unless he goes through stages of failure. And if you don't give up, in the stages of failure, then shivapom and yitl sadeh become. Then eventually you will succeed. Chazal say that when Moshe Rabbeinu was told by the Ribbono Shel Olam to make a census of Klal Yisrael, go and count Klal Yisrael. What did the Ribbono Shel Olam to say to him? Kol zochem ben chaydish u'ma'ala tifkadim. Go and count every single Jew who is more than 1 month old. Omaloi Moshe. Moshe turned around to the Ribbono Shel Olam and said, Yochel ani liyos oimed b'chatzreiseihem u'b'toich boteihem v'lispo kol echod v'echod mehem. It's impossible for one human being to be able to go from door to door and 600,000 people and count them. Omaloi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ribbono Shel Olam said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, Aseyat Shelcho, start! V'ani Aseyat Sheli, and I'll do the rest. Says the Medrash, Hoya Moshe Hoylech V'aymid Le'al Pesach O'Oyalim. All that Moshe Rabbeinu did was go to the doorway of the houses. V'ashchina Mekarevis V'aymaloi, and the Shechina said to him, Chomesh Tinoikim Yesh B'Bayez Hazer. This house has five. When Moshe Rabbeinu went b'tmimus to fulfill what the Ribbono Shel Olam told him to do, even though he was convinced it would be a failure, but it is utmost to try to succeed, the Ribbono Shel Olam came along and the Ribbono Shel Olam finished up malacha for him. And we have to learn from Moshe Rabbeinu that in a situation where it appears to us that we're not going to achieve the objective, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Lo alecha al mocha ligmor. You don't have to finish it. You may not be able to achieve the objective. But iato ben chayrin lifotim, man, you can't free yourself from it. Start! I'll do the rest for you. We all know that there exist situations where a person is exhausted, right? Sometimes he's physically exhausted. Sometimes he's emotionally exhausted for whatever reason it may be. And he has a internal debate and he doesn't know, should he go to the Beis Medrash? Shouldn't he go to the Beis Medrash? Should he go to Shir? Shouldn't he go to Shir? Should he go to the Avad? Shouldn't he go to Avad? And what does he say to himself? He says to himself, it's a waste of time going. Why? Because my physical or my emotional state is such that I won't be able to concentrate anyway. Therefore, it's going to be a total waste of time for me. So why should I go? There is a fascinating Mishnah in Maseches Eiduyos where the Mishnah says the following. Hillel Omer. Hillel said, a Mishnah, a mikveh has to be from either rainwater or from spring water. It can't be mayim she'uvim. It can't be water which has been drawn out of a well and stored in a keli. And a debate arose in the Beis HaMedrash. How much mayim she'uvim do you need in a mikveh to make the mikveh possible? Says Hillel, molei hin mayim she'uvim. Posin a mikveh, a quantity which is malayhin, a certain quantity of mayim she'uvim, that's going to passel the Mishnah. Shammai Omer, Shammai says, tisho kabin. No, you need 9 kabin. It's another quantity to passel the mikveh. Chachomim aimrim loy kedivrei zeh, v'loy kedivrei zeh. And then all of a sudden, there were two guys who turned up, garbage collectors from Shara Ashbois, from the garbage tip, in Yerushalayim. And they testified in Beis Din, in the name of Shmaya and Avtalion, that Shmaya and Avtalion said that 3 lugin of Mayim She'uvim puzzles a mikveh. Says the Mishnah, Kiyumu Chachomim es Divreim. The Chachomim said, oh, they're right. Says Rashi, who cares what they did as a profession and where they were from and where they were coming from? What's irrelevant? Says Rashi, because it's coming to teach us something. Shelo yimne odom atzmei bibeis hamedrash. A person should never find an excuse not to go to the Beis HaMedrash. Why? Because these two people were employed in a profession which is the lowest profession possible. It's a profession from which no Kohenim Gedolim are going to come out and no Malachim are going to come out, says Rashi. And they came from the lowest neighborhood, says Rashi, of the entire Yerushalayim. But, says Rashi, until this very day, the halacha which is paskened in Shulchan Aruch in reference to how much Mayim Shuvim puzzles a mikveh is said over in the name of these two people. Why? Because they happen to have been in the Beis HaMedrash at the right time to be able to hear Shmaya V'Avtalion saying over this Psak Halacha. These two people join the list of Tanoim and Amoroim, who are the chain of the tradition of the Maseiros of Torah Shebaal Peh that goes from door to door, because they happen to be in the Beis HaMedrash at the right time. Says Rashi, Al Yimna Adam Atzmei Mi Beis HaMedrash. Rabbi Sai, we live in a generation where you can't expect from those who grew up